This is episode 2 of the Digman Fitness Podcast. On this episode, we chat with July's member of the month, Brian Klunder. Brian shares with us what he enjoys outside the gym as well as exercises inside the gym. He also hangs out with us as we discuss foam rolling as an active part of our fitness routine. And then we even discuss overall nutrition and some of his favorite nutrition tips he's learned since training at Digman Fitness.
Welcome to the Digman Fitness Podcast. Digman Fitness is a place where families can become injury-free and have fun with functional exercise. We want to improve quality of life by preventing pain, reducing risk of injury, and improving function at work and at play. We promise to deliver the best tools necessary to help you restore your body and revitalize your life. Revitalize your life.
Revitalize your life. Hey guys, welcome to the Digman Fitness Podcast. Your host here, Corey Digman from Digman Fitness. Very special show here today. I want to cover an interview first with Brian Klunder. I have Brian in the house here with me, answering a few questions, having a conversation about his experience training at Digman Fitness with me, and as well as a little bit of a background of where he came from and what he does.
Sure. Thank you for having me, Corey.
Yeah. Welcome, Brian. So first off, for the listeners of this podcast, how long have you been working out at Digman Fitness?
I've been here since September of last year, so I'm going on my 10th month now. I believe in July.
Nice. And some of the best things about working out at the gym, you know, whether it be, you know, early mornings, getting in before work, or, I mean, just the camaraderie, what are some of the best things you get out of training?
Well, I think the big thing is it gets me my butt out of bed in the morning. I'm coming here Tuesdays and Thursdays at 5 a.m., so I'm an early morning riser. I love working out here. You know, you keep these exercises, you know, our workouts, you know, they keep them fun, but they're challenging. They're challenging.
That's great. Yeah, for the early morning risers, mm-hmm. that, again, was 5 a.m. So for those that have a, you know, where Brian has to travel a little bit to get to his job in the morning, you know, he's pretty dedicated, one of the most dedicated at being here early, even though it's 5 a.m. I mean, he's here camping out before I even get here, and sometimes I get here like 8 minutes to 5, so he's very dedicated, and it shows. I'm sure he's very successful in his job, and we can kind of transition into that, what you do, and
sure.
Kind of let our audience know.
Sure, absolutely. And I think I have a fast watch, too, though I get here so early. So
yeah, that helps, too. Maybe it's a trick.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, well, so what are some of your hobbies and your career and what you do outside the gym?
Well, right now I am an accountant. Right now I work for an IT consulting company. However, starting August 1st, I'm going to be starting a new job.
Oh,
yes.
Congrats.
Yes. It's a nonprofit organization called The Registry in Monona. They do. They're one of the organizations that rate childcare facilities.
That's
in
awesome.
Wisconsin and Minnesota. So yeah, I'm excited to start that.
Yeah, it's just like a fresh workout.
Yeah,
fresh,
absolutely.
New, almost like a career. So it's good to kind of
absolutely.
Mix things up a little bit.
Absolutely.
Keep the passion alive. I mean, it keeps you getting you out of bed in the
yep.
morning,
yep.
training hard.
Absolutely.
Represent yourself. So what are some talk about? You know, obviously you're. I know that you are an avid runner and very active with things outside the gym. What are sure. some of your hobbies?
Sure. Well, yeah, like you said, running. I've been running for about a year and a half now. My main goal is in October to run the Chicago Marathon. I'm running for a wonderful organization called Children's Oncology Services. They're based out of Chicago. They serve kids who have cancer and their families. I myself am a 25-year cancer survivor and am a former camper of this camp. I've been volunteering there 24 years or so at this camp, so it's an amazing place.
Yeah, which I will amazing. Be attending too. I'm excited about the Hollywood. Was it Hollywood dress up?
Yes, we're doing a Hollywood theme. We have all kinds of games for all the little kids. They're as young as 7 years old, so they're between 7 and 12 years old. So there'll be plenty of kids there. We have all kinds of games like ring toss games, bucket toss games. The favorite game of everyone is we have like this. Someone found like these. Rubber feces and someone made like a little makeshift toilet and then you know you throw the poop in the toilet. That is like one of our popular games that we have here.
Chip toss.
Yep, absolutely. It's like a human chip toss. Exactly.
Nice.
Exactly. So then we got games for you know, or we have prizes for all the kids and everything, and then like you said we're doing a Hollywood theme this year, so we're all getting dressed up. My outfit, I don't want to delve too much into my character.
Surprise.
Yes.
So was
I will say I made my outfit, but I spent over $50 in rhinestones on this thing, so it's
wow.
going to be pretty sparkling.
Talk about bedazzlement-ness. That's a word. Yeah. I'll
Absolutely.
Keep mine a secret also. It's a extreme awesomeness.
Yes, kind of undercover.
Yeah. Yeah, within the training, what are some of your challenges or some of your, I guess, areas of focus that have really made you stronger as a person or as a runner or within your career? The early mornings or the certain workouts or...
Well, I think just working out, I've never done really much strength training before, you know, I came here, you know, 10 months ago. I did, you know, a few things on my own, but, I mean, probably, look back like 2 years ago, I could probably barely do a push-up, like on my toes. Now I'm, you know, doing several of them.
Yeah.
You know, I've never dreamed I could, like, deadlift my weight or something, you know, anything like that. So, you know, I feel I've made tremendous strides here just in 10 months. So imagine if I stick with it for a couple of years, you know.
If I were to remember offhand, I'd have to check, but I think you're close to 20, if not more, push-ups.
Mm-hmm.
And 250-pound deadlift?
Close to it, I think so.
Last month or a month before, so there's huge improvements. I mean, the biggest thing you want, obviously, to get out of training is improve function, mobility, like what we do here, but, like, the strength stuff is also really fun.
Sure.
So
that's
awesome.
Yeah, when we test out, you know, if I can get one PR a month, I'll be happy.
Yeah.
I'd be very happy, so.
That's really good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, this, like you said, too, I'll kind of mention, you know, ask you some of your short and long-term goals. Obviously, your first one is the Chicago Marathon.
Yes.
But this, you can tell people, is your first marathon, right?
Yes.
You've done 5K. You start at 5K. Tell people about your progression.
Yeah, so like I said, I started running about April of last year, so not quite a year and a half now. I've done a few 5Ks, a few 10Ks. Over the 4th of July weekend, I did my first half marathon, which went well. I was about 10 minutes faster than what I expected, what my goal rate or goal time was. So I was very happy with that. So
yeah, it's huge.
So now I'm just getting in it with Chicago. So that training's been going okay. Been kind of skipping on a few runs, but I gotta get back on track, which I'm sure I'll do.
Yeah, I'm sure the rest and the strength and everything else is balancing out. So
sure.
It's the biggest thing.
Absolutely.
Nice. So a few other long-term goals that you might have related to, you know, fitness or not, that you might have?
I just want to become, you know, a stronger, you know, person, be more, you know, always striving to be the healthiest person I can be. You know, I made a goal not quite 2 years ago when I started planning and thinking of doing the Chicago Marathon is I just started out by just, you know, changing my diet. Like, I completely eliminated soda, and just from that, I probably lost maybe 10, 12 pounds just from...
Oh, yeah.
Doing that and just, you know, eating healthier and just, you know, having a healthier lifestyle.
Yeah, even for me, if I were to look back in college, you know, I was a thrower. I wasn't a distance athlete. Mm-hmm. You know, I was just a power Olympic lifter and thrower. And, mm-hmm. you know, the diet was okay, but I was also eating a lot more bread, a lot more processed foods. And right there, I mean, eliminate, like you said, your soda. But for me, it was eliminating the breads.
Mm-hmm.
And easily it was down, you know, 10 pounds, 15 pounds, give or take the variations. But like those one... And we can talk about it in our nutrition segment here, but the overall nutrition is huge. But, like, if you focus on, like, one thing, that little one thing, most people don't, I mean, they take advantage or take for granted. They don't realize
what
kind of impact it can do.
Absolutely. It's amazing, like, you know, how much you can lose from just, like, one thing or even, you know, how much money you save on your wallet, too. Just, you know, one little thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, for sure. How and who would you promote Digman Fitness to, or how would you experience, or you talk about your experience with Digman Fitness?
Yes, I guess anyone I would recommend anyone who is interested in just improving their fitness level, whether it's strength training or their aerobic health. You have a wealth of experience with what you do, and I know you do your research on, you know, exercises. I mean, if you look at your gym, I mean, it doesn't look like a gym, you know, starting out. I mean, you just have a handful of kettlebells, a few squat racks, so you don't think, like, oh, my gosh, what can you do with all this stuff? And then you break out the tractor tires and the sledgehammers and everything, and then it's like, you know.
It's game time.
It's a workout. It's a workout, yeah. And the cones and everything. So, anyone, and it's, you know, you get a personal workout, you know, you get personal attention, plus you kind of get to work in a group setting, which is nice, and, you know, you keep the workouts fun. And like I said, they're also challenging. So you kind of get the best of both worlds, so to speak.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I want to thank you for the interview. I want to kind of transition into our exercise tip. You know, each month and each week, I kind of focus on a few things or a few emphases on, let's say, like a body part or a corrective exercise. Mm-hmm. With your consistency and your effort that you put in, I mean, that kind of shows every day when you're coming in early. But, mm-hmm. like, with my next topic, which is foam rolling, the importance of that, you definitely come in, you understand the importance of it, and it helps in the exercises, which helps in transferring, helping you ever, you know, everywhere else you're doing within your job or your running and everything, anything else. So with that, we'll kind of ask you about some things with, as opposed to foam rolling and how you get out of it and some of your favorite or not favorite foam rolling exercises.
I mean, obviously, I like foam rolling, you know, on my body parts, like the my calves especially, you know, with running, my IT band, and also my hip flexors. I know after I ran my half marathon a couple of weeks ago, my hip flexors was killing me, and I probably didn't stretch that out, you know, enough or foam roll that beforehand as well as I should have. So it's like lesson learned.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a love-hate relationship. You know, having that piece of the puzzle within your warm-up and your cool-down is important. You know, I guess the basis that I can start this fitness tip up with is just say, you know, foam rolling is important because of the blood flow that you recruit before the routine and the adhesions. I guess what foam rolling does is to kind of remove any adhesions or any tight muscle bellies that we have in our bodies. Sometimes we can see that when we go through an assessment, our overhead squat assessment, and based on like what we see with our ankles or our knees or hip shift or forward lean, I know just through experience and different things on what areas are tighter over the others. And you can say, hey, let's do more of this after the assessment. And because we're doing this is going to help in our gait when we're running or exercise when we squat. So those little things, I mean, sometimes they hurt, sometimes they're sore, but those things are going to kind of even out if we mix in some rest days and hard days, and there's a big variation.
Yeah, and as I've noticed as a runner, you know, as running, I've noticed foam rolling has really helped my recovery. You know, I'm not quite as sore, or even your, you know, workouts here, I'm not quite as sore afterwards. You know, I still feel it, but not quite as bad as if I hadn't foam rolled. So
yeah,
it's makes a world of difference.
It's a huge thing, even for me. If I were to go back to competing in college, it was a kind of an overuse injury, but I had patellar tendonitis, and one of the things that were tight were my quads and my IT band, or actually mid quad and outer quad. And they told me, like, okay, we need to stretch this. We need to release it through these techniques, some of the similar techniques that I use now that I carried over from my training, from college, and then onto my business.
Sure.
So that's why I wanted this to be a big part of it, of the whole recovery and regeneration process.
Sure.
Biggest thing is you can look around, you know, Dick's Sporting Goods online, Amazon, Walmart. A lot of different stores carry, I mean, this has become so popular within the last 5 to 10 years that you can even use a tennis ball all the way through an actual foam roller. I mean, you can spend any much, you know, amount of money you want. You can even cut a PVC pipe at Menards. I mean, depending on your level, if you start, I would buy, you know, look for something in a store, if you physically grab it and you find that it's a little bit softer, then you can start with that and then go from there. But it wouldn't necessarily hurt yourself with something really hard first. But
no spikes starting out.
As far as a mode, would do, you know, a few times a day, first thing in the morning, you know, it is as little as 5 minutes up to 20 minutes, depending on your activity level. If you're just walking, then I would do, you know, 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes at night around the calves, you know, 30 seconds to a minute, and then work your way up. But the biggest importance or hierarchy, I would start with the calves because everybody walks every day. Those are going to be the tightest areas. So again, in regards to the foam rolling techniques and any other corrective exercises, I would take a look at digmanfitness.com under regeneration. I provide a helpful tool for you guys that are outside the gym or outside the city that don't necessarily make time to, you know, set aside an hour to work out. It's great tips as far as everything from foam rolling, warming up, corrective exercises at the workplace and at home, or within your workouts that you have set up already. So as we transition now into other tips regarding nutrition, I want to cover some overall tips and have a kind of a conversation with Brian here on what he does, what I do, what are some of the favorite things that he takes away from our members page and our training within the gym, because our members page on DigmaFitness.com is similar to the regeneration page. It's just that members that train obviously have access to that. So everything from warm-up exercises all the way through, if they're traveling, there's a travel workout. But most importantly, we want to get out now in this conversation is talk about nutrition. So what are some things that have worked for you recently? And you talked about changing your diet within the last couple of years, especially a year and a half with including your running. What are some things that you have struggled with that you have succeeded with so far?
I think just getting more, you know, carbohydrates like vegetables in my diet. And, you know, really before install, I'm kind of a novice when it comes to dieting. Like when someone says, you know, have this many grams of meat or protein or this, I mean, I don't know what, like, you know, 20 grams of carbohydrates looks like, you know, so I always need like, examples, which I think you provide a lot of, you know, good examples of, you know, like what a, you know, like what so many grams of protein looks like or how many grams of carbohydrates looks like. So I have some good examples. And then also like one tip I never realized, you know, I've always used like protein shakes, but I never thought of like using oats, you know, so that was like a, you know, a good tip and get more nutrients in my protein shake. So that was a good tip.
Yeah. So the oats and the protein powder is just an extra, a little bit of a girth or extra carbohydrate. So when you're working at the capacity at which you're working out in the gym, it's usually 80% plus intensity. So it's like you can compare it, like if I were to walk, you know, just a stroll in the park, that's like 20-30%. That just, you know, we're walking around the house, that's like 20-30%. It's a scale of 0% to 100%. So when you're working out in the gym, we usually, you know, go at a level of 80% or higher. Predominantly you're gonna burn more carbohydrate off then at that level. So refueling with the right carbohydrates is where I'm getting at with our post workout shakes in the gym. So the berries, the frozen berries which provide the antioxidants. I mean, some of the berries that we put in are the best fruits that you can provide your body for recovery. That covers that part of it. I'm all about finding pieces of the puzzle that make sense, just like a workout. So you have your antioxidants, your good sugar, your oats, which is your kind of your bulk fiber carbohydrate, your protein powder, and then your base, which is like almond milk, to kind of mix it all together.
Sure.
So the biggest thing you can kind of take away with this segment is covering just overall nutrition and why it's important. So regardless if you're training at all, you know, make sure before you even really measure anything, I mean, you talked about like, hey, I don't know what 20 grams of carbohydrate or protein looks like. You know, it's kind of getting better, you said. But for most people listening, I would at least make a list of what you're eating now, look at it, and make one small change each week. That's kind of how I transition people in a program. I don't give them a big sheet of paper necessarily right away. If they can handle it, then they can. But I always say just get a food log first week, first 3 weeks, look at that, and then say, okay, what one change can I do? Most people know, like, just by a first glance, like, what's good, what's bad. But with the coaching that I provide, say, hey, let's try this. You know, not necessarily taking that out, but maybe adding one good thing in, and then until you get a habit on that, and then slowly taking out the other stuff. So you're not really, like, necessarily depleting any total calories, you just providing yourself with good nutrients. So you're providing what I always learned in the past, like through schooling and in continuing education, provide yourself with your nutrient hunger and then caloric hunger. So that, like, so one thing I always remind myself too, like, I mean, after all the meal prepping we've gone through a lot of years, I know how much is what just from remembering it, memorizing, just like mathematics.
Of course I have it.
Yeah. Not the best at math, but I'm saying as like an example, like what somebody would say. If it's say, hey, you know, I know, you know, 2 + 2 = 4, because I'm not going to get too much. I'm just a tangent, sorry. But sure. You get the idea that you just kind of know after a long time of, like, how much is what. But as long as I have a good source of, like, a protein, healthy carbohydrate, a healthy antioxidant, fruit or vegetable, and then plenty of water. And once you have those components, just like a workout, make sure you have a good warm-up, good workout, good cool-down.
Yep.
It's all kind of intermixed in that.
Yeah. And one big thing I've learned from you is that even though you want to eat healthy, is to not, you know, you're not confined to just, you know, this little portion of amount you want to eat, you know, as long as it's healthy food, you know, to not be afraid to eat.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like what I, you know, I've gone through coaching too with nutritionists and other successful people that have gone through not necessarily dieting, but like that know what they can handle within your body. Everybody's body is differently. They handle different things. If you have a thyroid issue, there's going to be certain foods that are going to react, you know, different with your body, especially like Brussels sprouts and broccoli. You would think those are great foods. They are. But as a, you know, as concerned to thyroid hormone, that's going to kind of counteract a little bit. So it's kind of weird. But if everybody's body's, you know, I want to get at that as just a little different. But like the biggest thing that I take away from coaching from other people is provide yourself again with the protein source, good carbohydrate, good fruit, good vegetable. And after that, to fill up, more vegetables. Just eat before or after the meal, just like, okay, I didn't have a vegetable. Before I look at the treats or the desserts, you know, give yourself some time with that. Let yourself and your stomach settle for like 20, 30 minutes. If you're hungry again, grab another piece of vegetable and then keep yourself busy.
Sure.
All right, Brian. So we covered a lot, you know, a lot of fun information. And I mean, just being a part of this podcast with you today, you know, obviously I chose you as the member of the month because of your hard work and the results that you're getting, which people have heard about. But it's been fun. You talk about, you know, a little of what you do and what you get out of training here at the gym, and some exercise tips and some nutrition tips with you. So
sure.
I want to thank you for coming in.
Yes, thanks for having me, and thanks for all of you've done for me for the last 12 or 10 months, however long I've been working with you. Yeah, 10 months.
Yeah, it's been, great. I mean, consistency is what fuels excellence.
Absolutely.
So I think in that, you know, for people out there that are getting into a fitness routine or a nutrition routine, is just to start with something and step forward. If you have setbacks, forget about them. Find something you enjoy is the most important part, and then keep doing it. All right, Brian, I'll see you in the morning. Thanks so much for listening to the Digman Fitness Podcast. If you want to join us in the morning as well, sign up for our one-month trial to experience what Brian and I have talked about. Otherwise, if you're looking for a fun day activity that involves many of our gym activities, join our Exercises Play event. It's on August 13th from 9 to 11 a.m. Regeneration for that ends on August 5th. And of course, for those of you wanting to maintain mobility and flexibility, check out our regeneration program, which offers tons of corrective exercise both for at the workplace and at home. You can find all of this information at digmanfitness.com, or you can check us out, Digman Fitness, on our Facebook page. We can't wait to see you soon, so we can help you restore your body and revitalize your life.